Hey, you want that to go?
We have some takeouts now on stories we're following this week, and we've been reporting this morning that they have finished, they've completed drilling one hole down into the mine in Raleigh, West Virginia, where an explosion left at least 25 coal miners dead. No response yet from the four miners who are unaccounted for. Mining seems like an inherently dangerous profession, and yet there are entire communities in the United States whose identity revolves around this, the mining culture. For a glimpse into that life, we turn now to Chuck Nelson. He spent 30 years as a miner in Raleigh, West Virginia, and he actually worked for Massey Energy for a quarter of that time. Massey is the company that owns the mine where the explosion occurred. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm hoping you can shed some light on what seems to me at least, a curious dichotomy, this pride that coal miners take in their work, in their jobs, the fierce defense they have for the coal industry, and yet their acceptance of how dangerous this is and their expectation that some of their coworkers and family members could die.
Well, you know, it's a part of our culture here in West Virginia and throughout Appalachia, wherever coal is extracted. You know, we take great pride in what we do. You know, each and every miner wants to be the best coal miner that they possibly can be. And, you know, these are some of the most bravest, courageous people that I've ever worked with. But it's a part of our culture. I mean, when I followed my father into mines, he worked 47 years underground. And then, you know, I had my grandfather, he worked underground, and a lot of my cousins. And it's just a way of life here. And, you know, we are like a mono-economy state here. We depend on coal for our jobs. And, you know, if you're going to live here where you was born and raised at, you know, coal mining is just basically the only jobs available that, you know, pay good money and have good benefits go with it.
You worked for this company, Massey, for about 8 years. Did you feel that there were unsafe practices?
Well, yeah, I do feel it was unsafe practices. You know, I spent 21 and a half years, my first 21 and a half years as a union miner, when at one time, you know, basically all of West Virginia was under United Mine Workers of America contract. And at a union mine, you have union representation. That means the employees act as fire bosses that inspect the mines. And because it's our co-workers, you know, that has to go in behind them after you inspect the mines, and you want to make it as safe as possible for each and every one of them, because everybody counts on everybody else. When it comes down to safety, everybody's got a job to do. At a non-union mines, you don't have that opportunity. It is company regulated. It is company firebossed. Basically, they go in, and there's a lot of things they overlook, and it's because of, you know, they want to be competitive and productive in their producing of coal. But there was a lot of things that happened at Massey Energy that I did not agree with. But, you know, you really couldn't say anything because, just like, you know, I said, you at a union mine, you had union representation, whereas that if you had a grievance or a complaint over a safety violation, you had people there to represent you, a safety committee, mine committee. At a non-union, this don't exist. If you have a legitimate gripe or a grievance with a safety issue, they more or less say, well, you either do what you're told or you go home and we can get a guy to replace you. So you don't have that. But, you know, like with the mine that happened, the explosion that happened 2 days ago, it was a methane buildup of methane gas. And when, you know, you have a methane explosion, these are very powerful explosions. And what we rely on in the mines, working on a minor section, which I worked at, is that we have line curtain, and it's basically just like plastic coated with fabric. It's like and we call it line curtain. It's like a shower curtain. But this directs the air. You use these to direct the air to where you want it to go. And the line curtain is supposed to advance up into each working face within 10 foot of the face to supply the miner with oxygen, to keep some of the coal dust off of him. Mm-hmm. And also, if you should happen to hit a pocket of methane, that this air, with the amount you have coming up there, that it dilutes the methane and it carries it away from you and over into the return to where it's exited out of the mines.
Yeah.
Now, Massey Energy, the first thing we did when we got to the section was that we took the line curtains down.
Yeah.
So we destroyed our ventilation system.
Well, that's certainly one of the problems, as we're hearing, that's involved in the mine in West Virginia. Chuck Nelson is a former miner from Raleigh County, West Virginia.
Well, you know, and you hear Chuck talking there and how those miners just have to trust, if they're in a non-union mine, that it's safe because they don't necessarily have anybody advocating for them. You know, we spoke yesterday of the disconnect between people who use energy and people who actually are responsible for delivering energy to us. And you could hear that disconnect in some of the voices who responded to the program yesterday. Listen.
It's easier for our society to discard a few dozen lives every year than to switch over to solar energy.
And here's one other voice echoing a similar sentiment.
My name is Steve from Manhattan. We're not interested in solar energy. We're interested in cheap energy, and we can throw a few lives away. It doesn't make any difference.
What do you think? Does America's thirst for energy play into the safety of miners and these particular deaths? Weigh in at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Over at our site, thetakeaway.org, Paul in Miami posts, why are we still sending humans down into coal mines? Robots build our cars and disarm bombs. Why haven't we converted most, if not all, mine activities to robots operated remotely? I don't understand why we continue to place precious human beings at risk when I suspect they're all alternatives. Good points and questions from everyone on our website. You can keep that conversation going at thetakeaway.org or reach out to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.